All right, we're all set, guys. Super Stru here. Steve Strusinski, the Four Outdoorsman. Thanks for listening, everybody. I tell you what, we just got done listening to Megan and the Bird Watchers on the Homegrown Show. I'll tell you what.
Did you get an answer on why they're called the Bird Watchers?
Yes, because the gentleman, I forget his name, who was sitting in the middle, who is the voice of
Noah.
The group. What's his name?
Noah.
Boy, I tell you what, he reminds me of Jake Nelson a little bit, but the guy's really, really good. He's a bird watcher. He loves, I mean, he's big on. He's one of these guys that we tease.
Bird shooter.
They're really good. Megan and the bird watchers are very, very good. But now we're going to talk hunting and fishing and hockey tonight. We got some great guests in the Four Outdoorsmen tonight. Stu Man here. We got Sam to my left, and Mark Lukey is also in the studio. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very, very glad to be out of the house.
Oh, I bet you are.
It's a beautiful day, too. Yeah.
And I asked you, we can't talk about that, but I asked you to do something. You says, no, I can't do that. But it's got to be crazy for you with three kids in the house, 24 hours a day.
Do they get to entertain each other a little bit, or is it all on you?
It's mostly fighting,
okay.
Which is the hard part.
But I had two brothers growing up, and I can just imagine if we were in a lockdown situation.
Yeah, it's tough because, and they're probably listening, but... you know, you're confined in an area. When it's nice out, you can go outside, which is a lot better. But they're at the age where all three of them want to play with the same toy. So everything's a screaming match and a wrestling match. And, you know, I understand it, man. When you're in the same room with someone 24/7, it gets a little dicey. So, yeah, it's been tough. I took the boys out fishing yesterday. Max and Nick, we went to Lake Peltier. There's an area there by a dam. There was no fish. It was really cold. The water was, I don't know, 40 degrees or so, and there was no weeds really or anything, and a lot of people fishing. But it felt good to dust off the rods. We had a bait store question. You know, our bait store is going to be open. I went to a gas station and bought worms, so it's not like there's going to be a lack of bait.
No,
so
I'm sure there isn't.
My 5-year-old's taking this coronavirus pretty serious. He said, Dad, you want to play basketball? And I said, yeah. I go outside. He's wearing one of the fishing buffs over his nose, and he's got blue latex gloves on dribbling the basketball.
Attaboy.
Nice.
Attaboy. You saw the posting from Dave Orrick today as well, possibly, or in the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Dave Orrick is a good friend of ours, used to be the outdoor editor of the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Now he's just doing generic stuff, I guess, whatever they need to have done.
Yeah, I've seen him do politics and stuff like that. All
yeah, and he's
stuff.
Got a big story about him. He finally swallowed his pride and put a face mask on, like a scarf, like a bandana. Went to Fleet Farm, I think it was yesterday, and he said the first time he's done it, but he says, you know what? People looked at me kind of funny. I don't give a rat's ass. This has got to be taken care of. And
I've seen a lot of people wearing masks.
So, If I had one, I would wear it.
Funny story. My daughter asked my mother-in-law took her to Costco, and my daughter said, it's crazy how many doctors are shopping today.
That's kind of
She's
funny.
3 years old.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. Yeah. That's good.
I hit the jackpot. I was going through my tools and stuff. I was actually building a ramp for Nick's RC car, and I opened up a lid, and I found – bags of latex gloves I used for painting. I'm like, score!
Yeah, those are worth a couple $100.
I know, I'm like, yeah!
I've got some rubber gloves, and I was at the cabin today, and I happened to go into my garage, and I have some of those really good masks. And my son, Mike, the general contractor with Heinen Construction, who's doing a lot of renovations for the cabin,
He runs a clean project.
He's meticulous, man. He was a slob as a kid, and he's meticulous. he's really, really good. If he was not my own kid, I'd hire him.
That's good.
And that's the truth. But anyway, he's got a lot of those really good masks as well. So I'm going to confiscate a couple of those and just hang on to them. I think it's time.
I think those neck buffs would work great. I mean, I have
a couple
of those.
They actually said that they like recommend that because they're saying that this virus goes through the nose more than the mouth.
Okay.
And my whole family, I used to rep a company and they shipped me I probably have 50 to 60 of those. Yeah.
They look cool.
Yeah. All my
they
kids were wearing yesterday.
What is it?
You know, the sunblocker buffs for fishing.
Oh yeah.
Nylon.
You can wear them. They're like stretchy. We were all out yesterday playing basketball and all three of my kids have them. Well, I have four kids, but three of them were in. And James, my 5-year-old, goes, people are going to drive by and think a lot of bank robbers are playing basketball.
Yeah, that's funny.
Hey, they're comfortable too. So.
And I'd say like a big part about the mask is that it kind of keeps you from touching your face, which is a big thing that they have been. And it turns out, I mean, I'm touching my face all the time. I can't stop. I've been noticing that. I constantly am touching my face.
It's so good looking.
Thank you.
You know, it is hard to break habits. I was telling the Megan here from Megan and the Bird Watchers. We're talking about traveling, whatnot. I said I was in Florida, and I'm kind of a touchy feely kind of guy. And some guy in Florida held a door open for me. I think it was at a gas station, and I patted him on the shoulder and thanked him. And he gave me the look like, "Are you nuts?" And I apologized, you know. But it's just, I know what you're talking about, man. So I gotta keep my hands in my pockets.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. It's totally like a new lifestyle.
Yeah.
I wonder how things are going to be different afterwards, you know?
And when is afterwards?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Man.
I can tell you a lot of married couples are probably going to have like the best like next 5 years of their relationships now they get back to work and stuff.
Oh, yeah. If you can make it through this, man, you can make it. So we should talk. Well, we have Shelly coming on pretty soon here.
Yeah,
but,
Shelly.
Couple big outdoors announcements.
Go ahead. What are
they? Minnetonka announced ice off this week. So ice is clearly off Minnetonka, which is kind of a big, you know, thing in the area.
Yeah.
It kind of announces everything. And they closed all parks and beaches for Minneapolis for the entire year.
Wow. Dan Boris is going to be pissed off because he likes to walk around those beaches and check out the dollies. I tell you, he's always giving me reports on a regular basis out there. But
Mark brought up a good point before the show. The only one that makes sense is Calhoun.
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of people, like,
right,
you know, gather up there, but
I just
it's
don't,
a bold thing to
I
do.
I don't understand the season. Like,
yeah, do it till June.
Yeah.
It's pretty bold.
You can always extend it.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, we'll do the next 3-4 weeks and then keep extending it.
Hey, hang on a second, Shelly. We're talking about Shelly Holland is going to be on right now, as a matter of fact. And we also have Aaron Katz Merrick. Good friend of Mark's from high school. He'll be on. Muskie guy. And then Alex Stalock, the goalie for the Minnesota Wild, is going to be on at 6:40. Shelly, are you there, my friend?
I am here. How you doing, Stu?
Every day's a gift, young lady. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. We haven't had you on air for quite some time. And I think one of the best shows we've ever had, the most fun we've ever had, was when you and Scott were in studio and you were just like a little kid in a candy store. You had so much fun.
We did have a blast.
Hey, let's talk about crappie fishing, spring fishing. Now, Shelly and Scott own SKS Guide Service, and they specialize in pan fishing around the metro area and this part of the state of Minnesota. If someone wants to go out right now, give us some tips. What should we do?
Well, we were just up north. We were still on ice. But down here, it's like two different worlds. We have open water down here in the cities, and people are itching to get in their boats and hit some of them shallow waters for them crappies. You want to hit those nice, dark water, shallow bays, maybe on the north end of the lakes where the sun hits it all day long. No need to get up early for these crappies because you want that water to warm up as much as it can, and that sun beating down in that bay, the shallow bay with the dark bottom, that's going to warm it up because those crappies are coming in there staging for their spawning areas. So they're just starting to move in there maybe, hopefully, right now.
So, Shelly, you don't really do you have to look for weeds, or they just want the muddy dark bottom?
Well, they do want some weeds, but the weeds can be off to the side. But, yeah, they do like the weeds. But the bulrushes, a place to spawn is more like the bulrushes, lily pad roots. They want to hide a little bit, you know, for that spawning. And so those are the areas to look. A lot of times it's where the docks are because it's shallower water, and so you'll have a lot of people pitching into the docks and around the docks and stuff like that.
So, Shelly, if you had a son or a daughter who you were trying to teach how to fish and get them interested in fishing, is this probably one of the best times of the year?
Yeah. For sure, because you stick a little bobber on these crappies. It's so fun to bobber fish them in like 5 feet of water, in one of those shallow little bays that's nice and dark, bulrushes and weeds and stuff, and throw a bobber out there, and that's the best way a kid can fish. They're not whipping that line around, and you just wait for that bobber to go down.
Are you close
to shore as you can, and you don't want to be roaming your boat all over the place and stirring it up. You do want to sneak up on these crappies as best you can.
Are you one of these guides, these professional fishing persons who's turned over to plastics almost 100%?
Well, I do love the plastic. It stays on, and the plastic has gone so far. We use a lot of Mackie plastic. Clam Outdoors sells that. But you know, I still like the live bait. The crappies love that crappie minnow with the bobber. They're really going to go for that. Maybe some maggots. Maggots are great. But I'll always put along with a plastic. I love the bloody, Mackie bloody. I'll T-bone that bloody on a hook, and it looks just like a bloodworm. Exactly. I've seen bloodworms come out of panfish's mouth, and it's to the T, looks the same. So
are you talking? You mentioned something that you the presentation, I guess. You T-bone it on the hook. Describe, explain what T-boning is.
So when the hook comes out, you know, the way it comes out, I put it, the bloody is long and skinny, looks just like a bloodworm. I'll put it right in the middle of that hook, and then I'll also tip it with a few maggots and wax bees or whatever you want to use if you're doing that.
I have to I have to blow your horn. I'm telling you, I appreciate...
Toot your horn, I believe.
No, I'm going to blow her horn, but I'll...
What are you talking about?
We're talking fishing, lady friend. We're talking fishing. But anyway, you know, a good friend of mine, Tim Botoff, is an avid fisherman, and he's... hell, he's older than I am, and he's out... He's one of the guys I like because he's cockier than I am, and there's very few people in this world who are cockier than I am, but Tim Botoff is one of them, but he loves to fish. And Shelly was... He called me, like, I know what the hell I'm talking about, and says, give me some tips about crappie fishing right now. We're not doing that well. Well, I'm the wrong guy. So I got Shelly. Shelly was nice enough to give Tim a call yesterday, BS with him a little bit.
I did.
Yeah, and he's a wonderful guy, and he's just... Text me something right now, and thank you for being who you are and reaching out to Tim Botoff, because that's a nice gesture.
Aw, well, it was fun talking to him, and he is spunky. You said he was spunky, just like you and me.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hey, SKS Guide Service, since you've been so nice to join us for the first part of the show, tell us how people get a hold of you if they want to you to guide them crappie fishing or sunfish fishing someplace around the Twin Cities.
Yeah, SKSguides.com. We're on the web.
Go ahead, Mark.
And we can take care of your fishing needs, hopefully. You know, we don't know how this future is going to go in this next season.
Yeah.
We'll come back. Yeah. It'll be fine.
Hey, Shelly, it's Mark here. I just have a question. Are you able to run your food trucks with all this going on?
Right. So I chose to close mine down, and okay. I feel like I could have stayed because I was delivering food.
Right.
But it didn't feel safe. My right. jobs were, I closed it about 4 days before they said essential businesses only.
Yep.
And my businesses were already starting to cut back.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew when I closed, I told all my customers, I said, I think it's going to take a month, and hopefully I'll be back in a month, knowing that it wasn't going to be 2 weeks.
Yeah,
you know, right. I knew. I mean, I feel like that's common sense with everything you know. And I don't know that it'll be a month even, and I don't know that I'll even have a job. I seriously was wondering if I need to be – I've never been out of work before. So it is – it's different and scary and weird, but it's also, we're all going through it together.
Yep.
So I kind of feel okay. I feel like, you know, I don't feel like freaking out or getting so sad or, you know what I mean? It's just like, we'll get through this.
All right, Shell, I tell you what, if it gets really, really dire, you can join us in the studio. We'll pay you $10 a show to join us in the studio. How does that sound?
I'll do it.
All right, lady friend. Hey, next time we have you on the air, we'll talk about your being the captain and guiding people on the Apostle Islands tours, Lake Superior.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get to do that.
Yes. Every day's a gift, young lady. Hey, say hi to Scott. Take care of yourselves. That's Shelly Holland with SKS Guide Service. You want to go pan fishing? Give these guys a call. Check them out, all right? Thanks, Shelly. Take care of yourself.
Thanks, guys.
You bet.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Boy, she's feisty, isn't she? And she knows her stuff.
I mean, sounds like it.
Yeah, She and Scott have been together a long, long time, and they have a successful guide service, and it's nothing but panfish, from what I understand.
What lakes are they going?
Well, I don't know, but they're up by – I was at their house in Ham Lake or someplace out there, East Bethel or something here not too long ago, but they do North Branch and Pine City and the southern part of the state of Minnesota and into the metro area. And but they'll go where you got to go. You got to make a living. But they're very successful in that area, and they're wonderful people, wonderful people. But and I've so Mark, you should take those kids out with Shelly sometime.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you, one of the funnest times, the only time I've ever hired a guide was with Adam Griffith catching crappies earlier in the year. And,
yeah.
You know, they know where to go and what to do, and Shelly would be great at that too. So do it. Take some kids out. I've never had a boat ready for open water like this, so I don't really – I'm not used to being able to chase, you know, early crappies. So
but
I'm
you're ready now, aren't you?
I'm ready now, buddy.
Yeah. You got the Alumacraft out of storage from
Power Lodge. Yep, I vacuumed it out four times already in the last week. I've organized my tackle three or four times, yeah. So I'm ready to go. And I can't wait to try it.
You got a couple of shout-outs there?
Yeah, I got a bunch of shout-outs. We got a break here soon, but I'll get your shout-outs quick. Corey Bechtold says, thick weeds, gulp, one-inch minnows. That's how you catch the crappies. Garage cleaning day. Man, I have a bunch of junk, says Brian Amberg. Let's see. Bill Katz says, hey, guys, enjoying the outside. Billy Benson says, no question for Alex. Just tell him congrats on the great season and thanks for the great play. Regarding Alex Stalock. And Mike Jepson says, get outdoors, and he has a picture of some beautiful-looking ribs on the grill.
Yeah, those look good.
So thanks, everyone, for writing in the shout-outs. Make sure you do it next week. And coming up, we have Aaron Kaczmarek, a buddy of mine from high school I haven't talked to in 20 years. He's going to talk to me about muskie fishing.
Uh-huh.
Just enjoying Bob Outdoors with the Four Outdoorsmen on a Sunday evening. It's a good thing.
The Devil's Lake Secret has been out for many, many years. It's one of the top five fisheries in this country and is just waiting for you to make memories. Devil's Lake just might be the jumbo perch capital of the world. And now is the time to book your trip by going to devilslakend.com. There's great hotels, great eateries, great fishing, and a package deal to fit anybody who loves catching walleyes and perch through the ice. Hey, Devil's Lake, exciting, unique, and a superb ice fishing experience for the whole family. Book your memories now, devilslakend.com.
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with three locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full service shops at three locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault. Creating customers for life. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Find the organization you can feel good about supporting. Reach for Resources supports individuals with disabilities and mental illness to reach their full potential. That means Joe can get help finding a competitive job. Beth can socialize at bowling league. Shana can enhance her parenting skills. Ron can learn how to access needed resources. And Annie can feel included at camp with her young friends, just to name a few. While these names have been changed, our desire to empower others hasn't. Check out how you can help at reachforresources.org.
It's Neil for Zero Res, and they know this. You're locked in your home with kids, pets, and spouses. Your carpet is your biggest air filter. During these times, it's important to keep everything as clean as possible. At Zero Res, they've taken the necessary precautions. Their techs are on top of COVID-19 and are well-versed in what they need to do to protect themselves and you. And Zero Res will continue to be open and ready for your call. Book today, and Zero Res is offering 20% off for the first time ever. Call 952-ZERO-RES or online at ZeroResMinnesota.com.
A little story about Boost Mobile. Davis, I am feeling pain.
What, your dog die? Your girlfriend left you?
No, the pain I'm feeling is having an old smartphone.
Mm-hmm. That's why I switched to Boost Mobile and got four free phones for $25 per line.
Well, I didn't. Without Boost Mobile, I got an old phone. It makes my life sad. I feel so alone. I'm switching to Boost, getting four phones for free. your Samsung Galaxy for my whole family.
Switch to Boost Mobile and get four lines for $25 per line per month with unlimited data and four free Samsung Galaxy A20 phones, all on our super reliable, super fast network. Step up with Boost Mobile. New customers only. Limited time offer while supplies last. Requires one port from eligible carrier and activation. One free device per line. Customers who use more than 35 gigabytes of data during a billing cycle will be deprioritized during times of network congestion. Offers and coverage not available everywhere. See BoostMobile.com or retailer for full details. Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're back. Stu Man here. Sam, Mark, Lukey.
Hey.
Getting ready for the next guest. I tell you what, Mark, bring your buddy in, would you?
Yeah, so Aaron Kaczmarek is on the line here, and Aaron and I went to high school together, and we started a volleyball program, or we were on the first team in high school, and we toured around, and we were both tall guys, and we smashed some volleyballs into some people's
Boys
faces.
Boys didn't play high school volleyball.
Oh, man, it was fun, man. We traveled all around. We had a great time. I haven't talked to Aaron in 20-plus years, probably. And we're friends on Facebook, and we've messaged each other over the years. And I saw that he wrote an article for Muskie Hunter, so I reached out and thought I'd get him on the show. Aaron, are you there, buddy?
I am. How you doing?
Good, man. It's good to hear your voice. It's been a long time, hasn't it?
It has, sir.
Cool. Well, I was just blown away that you're writing for Muskie Hunter. I just want to hear about your tail into muskie fishing. And your tail into writing, how this came about, and we want to hear some tips from men. We are not musky fishermen, but I have the stuff. I want to do it, so I'm going to have to
get... But now we have a really good friend who can take us musky fishing.
Amen, I was already thinking about that.
So, Aaron, start us out. Well, let's start off with musky fishing. How did you get into the sport? Are you still in the Madison area, or where do you live now?
No, I'm up in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, so Central Wisconsin.
Okay, so that's getting up in musky territory. So how far are you from, like, the Hayward chain and stuff like that?
Hayward's about 3.5 or 4.
Okay.
I cut my teeth up in the Minocqua area, the Manitouish chain. So those are two kind of separate musky camps. You kind of fish Hayward or you fish the Minocqua area. So
right.
I grew up over there.
So how long ago did you start getting into musky fishing, and how did you, I have yet to take that leap. How did you start on that leap?
Oh yeah, it was a classic, like, Central Wisconsin boy love story, right? Like, you start catching bluegills when you're a kid and you move to bass, and then, you know, kind of dabble in trout a little bit, walleye and catfish and stuff. But after you catch your first musky, there's really no going back, because it's just such a different monster altogether. So, when I was 22, was when I really got deep into it, when we really started spending a lot of time in boats going after them. So, it's once you do it, and once you get the feel for it, there's really no other type of fish that gives you the same rush, man, when you get one.
Aaron, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, everyone I've talked to has had a similar story like that. How long did it take you from your first attempt to actually catch your first muskie?
Oh, so I had a couple kind of accidental muskies when I was, you know, like 16. I fished with my dad a lot, and we bumped into a couple kind of on accident. But the first one, when I was actually, like, really out there pounding for him, we fished the entire day, didn't see one, and then we went back to the cabin, and we were just kind of sitting around, and a buddy of mine was like, hey, let's just go out and night fish. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what we were getting into. And I had like a low 40s just blow up, and it really was just this something that I'll never forget. Like, it was really something that changed. I don't even want to say it changed my life, but it changed my life. It was just a total different way to fish and a different method of getting what you need in the boat. It was really cool.
Hey, Aaron, Sam here. I can tell you, I haven't musky fished, but after reading that article you wrote in Muskie Hunter, you did a fantastic job on that, so we'll have to talk after the show and figure out when we can go. Because after reading it, I want to definitely jump into it.
Yeah, it's something, man. It's dangerous though, because, you know, there's always more stuff to buy and there's always more gear to get. It's like a double-edged sword, man. It's really it's almost like a lifestyle that you have to just kind of immerse yourself in if you want to put them in the boat.
Hey, Aaron, I'll tell you, this is Steve Strusinski. We spoke a couple of times. Thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. Aaron Kaczmarek from Wisconsin, the musky hunter, and good for you. Sam was saying, I'll be honest with you, I have not read the article yet, but Sam read it today and he said, you know, I felt like I was riding the boat. That's quite a compliment to you, young man, as a writer, so good for you. You were talking about the first time, maybe not the first time, but you went out someplace and you fished all day without even seeing a muskie, and you're casting all day. I'll tell you what, I've got a body like PB Herman. I would damn near die throwing those big rods for 5, 6, 7 hours. I couldn't do it, man. I couldn't do it. Were you sore? And do you ever get hurt doing this game?
Well, it's you know, in my older and wiser years here, I tend to lean toward baits that I can throw all day, because back in the day, you know, we were like ripping baits and throwing big hefty crankbaits and getting down 15 feet and, you know, you'd be sore for an hour, but, you know, a couple of beers and you'd be all right.
There you go. Yeah.
If I tried a 16-hour session now, I mean, I'd be probably laid up for a week. So I don't know if work lets me call in sick for that anymore. So it can be a young man's game, but there's ways around it, man. You can find baits that you can throw and be effective and catch muskies that don't kill you.
You were talking about work. All right. How do you make a living? What is your career? Are you getting paid as a writer to make enough money to support yourself and family, whatever? Or what is your job?
So I'm a special ed teacher at Stevens Point High School.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I could make a living writing, but that's a tough gig. So the writing is kind of a side gig. I write for movienews.com. I do movie reviews. And then I also have a couple of short stories published. And then the muskie hunter thing, a friend of mine is really an excellent fisherman. He wins a lot of tournaments, Nate Osfar. And he's really, really knowledgeable. And he just called me up and said, hey, man, I got an idea for an article. Do you want to help me write it? And it was really fun. It was really cool. He's an intense dude, so he just kind of sat at my kitchen table and he talks like just straight musky knowledge for like 3 hours while I just took notes like furiously, tried to keep up with him.
Well, I tell you what, we're gonna get back to the musky fishing in a couple of minutes here. But you talked about writing and whatnot, and I know you are a movie reviewer as well. And you got to listen to this. I don't think we have the same taste, but he's a sci-fi guy, and He's done reviews for Godzilla, something called Skinny, I think, Game of Thrones, Joker, Pet Sematary. These are some of his favorite movies to watch. Since we're all locked up for the most part, these are some of his favorite movies, and more power to you. But this radio station, Bob FM, just had a movie contest. You've been following this at all?
I haven't, no.
Oh, yeah, and they had, I don't know how many hundreds of people chimed in for the best movie. Brandon, you want to jump in here?
Sure.
All right.
Well, so, I mean, we had, there was like four different categories. You know, we did like comedy, drama. We did sci-fi and horror kind of together, and then action adventure. But we're down to the finals, and I believe the winner will be announced tomorrow.
And the final two, I talked to Jeff Jones, who's somebody around here. I don't know.
He's the boss man.
Yeah, he's the boss man. Anyway, and I said, what are the... I haven't had a chance to check into it. The final two.
Back to the Future.
Which surprises me.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's a good movie. Back to the Future.
It's got a great soundtrack, excellent direction, like just really well done.
And
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
Oh, Shawshank on that one.
So, yeah. Again, that's, I mean, they're apples and oranges there.
Aaron, yeah. What do you think? Who wins?
Shawshank, no doubt.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I wouldn't think that Back to the Future be in the top 50 of all-time movies.
So what?
I did like the movie.
The listeners voted on everything. We did start kind of the list. You know, we populated kind of the starting point. But when we were talking about it, you know, you got to think about all the different sort of criteria that you're going to judge a movie on.
Yeah.
And how many of those different aspects of, like, being a good movie, does that movie check, you know, that box?
Right.
Like, is it... fun, is it, you know, like, just, is it timeless, does it hold up, whatever, all that kind of stuff. And I mean, Back to the Future is a good family movie, where so that kind of edges out Shawshank a little bit on that. But I think if you're going like film,
yeah,
and like you're talking to like filmmakers or people who really love movies, Shawshank Redemption is a fantastic.
What happened to Godfather?
Yeah, how is Tommy Boy not in the top?
Both of those were in the list.
Are you kidding me?
I think Goodfellas is better than Godfather.
Yeah, that's a great movie.
Godfather's great, but I think Goodfellas is better. And that's one of we did kind of do some of that, where we pitted things that were kind of similar up to each other, so you could, you know, one of those, there can be only one gangster movie, you know, is it Godfather or Goodfellas? And I think Godfather won in that head-to-head. I don't remember.
Hey, let's get back to Aaron. We forgot about Aaron Katzmerick here. Aaron, I'll tell you what, back to fishing and your love for the outdoors and all of that.
That's good.
How did you start? Who was your mentor when you started fishing?
My dad, no doubt. He loves to fish. He still gets out whenever he can. He actually has a place up in Hayward now that he runs up in the summer and spends a couple of months up there. And if you need him, you'll find him on the boat. So when I was little, my dad took me fishing quite a bit, you know. So just kind of that classic progression. I'm like, it keeps you fishing, you learn how to fish, you get your dad, you kind of get out on your own. And then when you get a little older, you get to take your dad fishing. So yeah. It's kind of that classic story, man.
Good for you.
Aaron, how did we go to high school together and hang out together and we did not realize we both like fishing?
Yeah, I'm not sure. We were probably too busy playing volleyball.
That intense schedule.
Aaron, real quick.
Yeah, that intense volleyball practice schedule.
Hey, Aaron, Sam here. For the listeners, kind of give us like a brief little thing. How does someone get into muskie hunting or fishing?
A lot of people call it hunting.
Yeah, I meant muskie fishing.
So I think, Aaron, I'm a good example. So I went to Muskie Expo 4 years ago, and I bought a fancy new muskie rod from Reed's, and I have, you know, I think they call it a bulldog, a plastic. I have about four or five. I haven't really attempted it. What's a good way? What's a good lure? What's a good tactic to just maybe get hooked into that first one?
And how much does it cost to start this game?
A lot. I've spent $500 and I haven't even gone yet.
Yep. That sounds right, man.
Oh, yeah.
If you start musky fishing, they put a little thing on your credit card, and every time you launch your boat, they just retract like $200 from your bank account.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So to get started, I would start with what you know. Like if you know how to catch walleyes with crankbaits, you know, just triple the size of your crankbaits and find spots on the lake that you're comfortable fishing. Do you like to fish structure? Do you like to find weed edges? And when you first start out, I would also recommend using baits that do a lot of the work for you. Some of those plastic, those rubber baits, take a little bit of technique and experience to throw properly.
Yep.
So you know, if you know what you're doing with crankbaits, start there, man, because you know, they'll eat those things for sure. And then when you get a little better feel for, you know, cadence and retrieve, you can start to work some of those more complicated baits. But bulldogs are fantastic baits. I mean, I got a lot of muskies on bulldogs. And it's not like rocket surgery. You don't have to, you know, have a college degree to do it, but just getting your feet underneath you for a couple hours and figuring out how it works. And you know, those baits are so heavy, and making sure that you're working your bait caster properly when you're throwing, you know, 2 and 3 and 5 ounce baits is another thing to figure out.
You always hear musky fishermen talking about fall and full moons. Is there something to that? Is that the prime time for muskies?
Well, I don't think it hurts, man. You know, you can see a lot of pictures where, you know, it's half moon and the fish aren't supposed to be eating, but they sure are. So muskies are kind of that weird fish where they do what they're not supposed to do most of the time. But I've never heard of anybody saying that full moon hurts when you're musky fishing.
Right. So you enjoyed writing this first article. Is writing for the outdoors something you want to pursue in the future? What's your next step, or do you have any other stories in the works?
Well, you know, this was actually my first outdoor article that I wrote, but seeing my name in Muskie Hunter, I've been reading that magazine since I was probably 10 years old. So it was just a thrill just to see my name, you know, in the print. It was really a cool experience. So I think moving forward, I'll throw my hat in the ring for a couple other magazines and just see where it takes me. That's kind of the cool thing about, you know, being a freelance writer is that you have that opportunity where you don't have to, you know, it's not a must that I get published. I can kind of pick and choose where I get in.
Aaron, I'm looking forward to reading the article in the Muskie Hunter magazine. Have you approached the Outdoor News? We're really good friends with Tim Spielman and Rob Driesline from the Outdoor News. And, of course, there's Wisconsin and there's Minnesota. They're all over the place. But they have freelance writers and contributors regularly. Have you ever approached those guys with a story?
I have not at all. But I know that publication for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's one of the best publications you're ever going to find for the dollar, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, Aaron. I hope, or do you have another story in the works, or do you have an idea of what you want to write about next?
Nate and I wrote another article about breaking down a lake when you first get out there, like what to look for when you're musky fishing, how to first approach a new body of water. And we have that sent over to another musky publication called Muskies, Inc., and we're waiting to hear back on that one.
That's awesome, man. Well, Aaron, thank you so much. We'll have to write back and forth a little bit more now that I know that you're in the outdoors game. And I love the article. I think you did a great job. And,
very good.
And it's really awesome reconnecting with you, and maybe our paths will cross again someday. How's that sound?
I hope so, man. It was good to hear from you.
Yeah, I'll tell you one more thing before you go, pal. I want you to share with me, I'm going to put you on this spot, share with me a memory that will embarrass Mark Lukey.
Oh, boy. All right. Embarrass Mark Lukey.
My wife is probably listening, by the way.
And kids.
Okay, so that's like, I got to go down to like story number 10.
I tell you, Aaron, you've got my phone number, so let's do this. You think about it. You text me, and before we get off the air, I'm going to embarrass Mark Lukey through you, buddy, all right?
That sounds good. I'll send you a text.
All right. Aaron Katzmarek, musky hunter, I'll tell you what. Appreciate you being on the 4 Outdoors. You take care of yourself and be safe, all right?
Thank you, gentlemen.
You bet.
Thanks,
take
Aaron.
Care.
Thanks, Aaron.
See ya.
You know, the one of the things, the reasons I don't get into, I have not gotten into turkey hunting or even trying musky fishing is the plate is full, you know, and I don't want to get hooked on something else. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
And what do you do? You know, I love to golf. I like to fish once in a while. I like to do this kind of, but I just don't want to get hooked into one more thing that I fall in love with that's going to break the bank.
And like he said, once you hook your first muskie, you're set for life.
Yeah.
Like,
somebody wants to take me. I'll pay someone to take me and to catch a muskie or two and go for that. That'd be kind of fun. You know?
I have a good buddy like that. He was diehard walleye. Diehard. Caught a muskie. Doesn't even try and fish for walleyes anymore. All he goes for is muskie.
Yeah, it's a big game, boy. It's a big game, yeah.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And you know, if the first time I ever even heard the word muskie, I was probably 13 or 14 years old, and I'm on Lake Vermilion by the Polish Palace up there, and with my old man, and we're watching, and we're fishing for walleyes, because that's all my dad ever fished for was walleyes. And we see two guys fishing with big rods and throwing baits as big as this Clorox bottle and slapping the water and slapping the water.
Clattering,
I had
loud.
No idea. Yep. And eventually we got near them. Not, you know, we didn't slam them or anything, but got near them and said, hey, what are you guys fishing for? They were fishing for muskies. And they showed us these lures, and they're 7, 8, 9-inch lures. Yeah. I thought, and I'd never seen that before.
And they're not cheap either.
Yeah. 20, 25
no, yeah, it's
bucks
20
so
bucks a lure and a lot of that stuff.
Hey, let's take a break, all right? We're going to get ready. Alex Stelak is going to be on. Minnesota Wild goalie, and we're going to talk hunting and fishing in Minnesota Wild, and be right back with the 4 Outdoorsmen.
Movie madness is taking over Bob Country. You spent all winter watching them, now rank them. We're starting off with 32 movies facing off head-to-head in their genres and narrowing down the victors round by round until there's only one movie left, and that is the greatest. What is the greatest movie of all time? You decide. Vote today at mybobcountry.com.
Devil's Lake, rated one of the top 5 fisheries in all of America. It's grown from 70,000 acres to 160,000 acres plus in the last 40 years or so, and that's nearly unlimited opportunities. Ice fishing is now, and Devil's Lake is well known for its jumbo perch, plenty of walleyes for you to keep, 5 per day as a matter of fact, with 10 in possession, and listen closely, there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake, every angler's dream come true. Hey, trust Drew Man on this one. Check it out at devilslakend.com.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault. Creating customers for life. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with three locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full-service shops at three locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River, where the weather conditions are perfect for one crop, cotton. My bed sheets are ultra soft, breathable, and extremely durable. They come in a variety of colors, and now for a limited time, when you use your promo code, I'll give you my best offer ever. Buy one set of my Giza Dream Sheets and get another set absolutely free. I guarantee they're going to be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own.
Go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code Bob. Or call 800-606-7812 to take advantage of this amazing offer.
Check out the latest in virtual golf. Get a $50 certificate for X-Golf in Champlin and Blaine for only $25. For more details, check out DealsOnRadio.com.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Total Country Bob FM. Four Outdoorsmen one more time, and I tell you what, instead of just BSing and getting ready for something going on, let's talk to him right away. Alex Stalock from the Minnesota Wild is here. Alex, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Well, every day is a gift. I'll tell you what, this is going to be – wait, we got to get you on for an hour because, man, you got a background that blows me away. We're talking –
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. What website are you looking on?
No, we're looking at all of them, man. Hey, I'll tell you what, honest to God, you were so nice to me and the first couple of times you talked because – you know, most hockey guys are like that as well. They're not the big prima donnas. You make a good living. You're a great athlete and all that. More power to you. But Alex just treated me like he was one of my best friends. I'm thinking, damn, I'm thinking this guy might be a Alex Stalock, the plumber from South St. Paul, and he's just BSing with me. But, no, it's fun to have you on the show, and we've done some research on you. And Sam to my left, talk about some of the stuff you talked about. This guy's, he's a fishing and hunting fool, this Alex Stalock guy.
Yeah, how you doing, man? Sam here. First off, do you go by Al or Alex?
It's whoever. My mom wants Alex all the time. A lot of guys call me Al.
If she's listening, I'm going to call you Alex.
Yeah, exactly.
So first, I did a little research on you, watched a couple of videos. Thanks for coming on. So I saw a video that you have a couple horses that you're raising to race. Is that right?
Yeah, we do. I have, we just had one that raced yesterday, actually, down at Remington. I think we've owned maybe like five or six horses and just one or two a summer and kind of just mess around with it. And we got into it because our young kids could go back on the backside of the track and feed the horses and see the horses up close. And that's kind of why we got into it. And it's just kind of a fun hobby. And obviously, now with Canterbury being closed, with the COVID-19 deal, it's a little tougher, and we don't get the full benefits of it, but we enjoy it, and it's something to wake up this time, pull up a horse race, and check it out.
Hey, Alex, have you ever been to a Kentucky Derby?
No, I have not.
I'll tell you what,
bucket list item. I've been to a few different tracks actually. I've been to Gulfstream, Golden Gate Fields, Tampa Bay Downs, and obviously Canterbury, but yeah, the Keeneland would be a fun one to go to, and I hear Saratoga is beautiful, and obviously the Kentucky Derby would be a fun one.
My wife and I went to Kentucky Derby about 3 or 4 years ago, 5 years ago. My buddy Wade Ryan's brother-in-law was president of Churchill Downs, so we had an opportunity to go in the back rooms and all that kind of stuff and have a cocktails with Bob Baffert and all this of a cool deal.
Wow.
But
yeah,
it was really, but honest to God, the entire experience.
How did his hair look in person?
Not nearly as good, man. But
as good as does on TV?
That's funny. But I'm telling you, whether you're a horse fan or not, or a racing fan or not, the experience and the emotion you feel at Kentucky Derby is real. You got to do it, man. You got to do it.
It's nuts, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, even at home when I'm in the basement and I turn the surround sound up, and when the horses break out of the gates, 20 horses stumbling down the dirt is like, man, it's pretty wild.
Hey, I'll tell you what, we're talking with Alex Dielek. He's with the Minnesota Wild goalies. He's one of the two goalies, and Devin Dubnyk is the second one. I want to ask right off the bat, okay, you and Devin are great friends. You're good friends. All these guys are good. My son, Joe, who I talked to you about or texted you about, lived across the street from Dubnyk for a couple of years in Edina. That's the same kid whose kid plays hockey with Jared Spurgeon's kid. You are close friends with it. Is it hard now that you are the number one goalie for the Minnesota Wild, and that's what it is right now because you've been playing so well? Does it put a strain on relationships?
Not at all. And I wouldn't say that, you know, one guy takes over the number one job. That's never brought up. And obviously, we went through a coaching change, and
yeah.
You know, he addressed us and he said, "We need to win games. So if you're going to win, you'll go in, and if you don't win, then you'll be out, and we'll go to the other guy." And it just so happened that we were winning games. And it's just like any sport. When you're winning games, you're not going to change the lineup. There's no reason to change the lineup.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that obviously we were winning games, and the team's playing great. We had, you know, Fiala was turning into a star, and you know, our veterans were scoring goals for us, and you know, obviously our defense has been great all year, and you know, we were piecing it together, and we were finding the right recipe, and winning games.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I got. I was talking to Jared at one of my grandson's hockey games, and it was the day after you guys kicked someone's ass like 8-2. I don't know who it was, you know, and that's the most goals you scored in the last couple of years, whatever. And I said, And I said to Jared, "How'd that feel?" He said, "No, it's so much fun to get a jump like 4-0 in the first period, and we know we could just kind of take it easy on the way down to the second or third period." And he said it was just a lot of fun to do that, but it doesn't, because you guys have been winning, scoring one goal, two goals, and all that kind of stuff. And I said, "I'll tell you what, keep it up, but you know, just stay healthy." The next game, Jared, I jinxed you guys. Jared took that slap shot in the wrist, whatever it was, and he's so
where was that? Didn't he block that shot?
Yeah, I don't know, but I feel bad because I think I jinxed you guys. Yeah. Hey, let's talk about your background a little bit. Okay, you were drafted in 2005, San Jose. Yeah. Went to UMD, 6 years in the minors. 6 years in the minors, that's a long time before you get picked up. Now, his first game was San Jose. He replaced, I think, Niemi, I think, and he gets picked up by San Jose. His first game in the majors, he stops 9 shots, played about 30 minutes. He gets the win. And then the next day they ship him back down. Were you surprised when they shipped you back down?
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I was just looking. I have the game sheet from that first game in the basement. And, you know, it was pretty special. Actually, Patrick Marleau's 1,000th game. So he had his ceremony before the game. And then obviously was lucky enough to get a chance to play. You think you're just going up there, obviously, to back up, but you get thrown in there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think we were down like 3-0 at the time, and it was actually funny. Paul Bissonnette, I don't know if you know who he is. He's a big media guy. He does like the spit and chiclets and all that stuff. But he scored the third goal, and I think that kind of the coach at the time, Todd McLaren, he's like, "All right, if this guy's scoring, let's just change it up." And so we went in there, and they made it pretty easy. Only 9 shots the rest of the way, and I think Patty Marleau, I don't know if he scored the game winner or had the empty netter, but ended up coming back and winning 5-3, and it was pretty cool. My parents were actually there. They flew in for the game just in case, and it worked out pretty special.
After 6 years, hang on a second, Sam. After 6 years in the minors, how many more years are we going to hang in there?
Well, I mean, I think if you look at it, 6 years is probably spread out. I mean, I think that my first game was 2011, so that was my second year pro. And then I actually – it was funny, I played that game, and then I got sent down. And then when I got sent down the next game in the American League, I actually got stepped on by a skate, and I was out for a whole year. So I lost a full year doing rehab, and then I came back and ended up playing another year or two, year and a half maybe in the minors. And then from there I was up in San Jose for about 3 years. And then after San Jose, bounced around a little bit in the minors again, and then found a home in Minnesota, and it worked out great.
Good for you. Sam?
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet you're glad to be back home so you can get back out on the ice fishing in the winter. And I heard you're a big turkey guy. Is that true?
No, I'm not actually a turkey guy, but I might get into it this year. It's the 15th, right?
Yeah, what was that box call when you're cooped up with Ryan?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I had that in here because they'll come through. They'll move through here certain times of the year. And I just got one for when they're coming through just to mess around with it. And but now that they're open, I have a bow. And when it opens on the 15th, if we're at home, it's you know, hunting season's so hard because it's during the hockey season. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, I've never really had a chance to do it until being back here. Now it's worked out, but obviously fishing, I was able to get out ice fishing a few times this year, but I just actually, both my brother-in-laws were out on the St. Croix today down at Pool 3, and it sounded like they did pretty good on the walleye, so they said there was like 100 boats out there.
Oh, I bet.
I heard you say that being in an ice house with your buddies is the exact same feeling you have in a locker room.
Oh, it's awesome. It's great. I love it. That's why I like ice fishing so much.
That makes me feel like a pro now.
The camaraderie and the joking, and yeah, it's great.
So you let's pick it up like this. If you had one sport other than hockey right now to choose, or one outdoor hunting or fishing experience, what would it be?
Oh, golfing would be a ton of fun. I know that right now. It'd be a way to break up time, but honestly, I'm excited to get my boat out of storage and go out fishing. And my boy's 5 here in a month, so I got him into an open bale pole last year because I was sick of dealing with those Zebcos, and he got it down. So I got him like a 4'6" St. Croix ultralight and a little like 1,000 Sahara or something on there that. It's great. He loves it. He can flip it, and it's actually so much easier than a Zebco.
Is this
same? Once they get it, oh, man. So he's got that down. He likes it, and we'll go out and catch some sunnies, and it'll be good.
Good for you.
Is this the same son that FaceTimed you from the basement to come play NHL?
Same one, yeah.
Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, he's a piece of work.
Well, I was going to say, I'm kind of going through the same thing. I have a boy that's 7. We got him on an open-faced reel. There's nothing worse than untangling a closed-face reel, you know, when it gets all tangled up inside and you got to take it off and everything.
The only way that I found that works is just throwing it in the trash. It works.
You're 100% correct. It is easier throwing them away than dealing with that kind of nest, that's for sure.
And the line that comes on it, too, is the cheapest line. It's always coiled. It's just, oh my God.
It's thick and waxy and just, it does not get out of that form.
Alex, what's your go-to lake once the water opens up here?
Actually, I'll go down to the St. Croix. We live on the east side, so I'll go down to St. Croix. It's easy to get down there and get the Washington County Parks Pass, so you can drop in down at the Bluffs. I actually was lucky enough to ice fish over here on the east side on Lake Edith this winter, which is a private lake. I have a friend that his buddy's got a place on the lake, so got to go out there and ice fish and catch some crappie. Other than that, I grew up, we had a family cabin up in Aiken, just north of Aiken, like 20 minutes on a lake called Round Lake. It was actually a really, really good fishing lake. So I was blessed to have that kind of through my younger years and into, we just got rid of it maybe 3 or 4 years ago, but that was a really fun place to have and really good fishery. And obviously we have a fishing opener trip that we go on, and obviously that's kind of in limbo with what's going on. I don't know what resorts and people are going to do, but.
Well, the opener's open. We know that. Go ahead, Sam.
I was going to say, Alex, so I heard you mentioned a bow for turkey. Does that mean you whitetail hunt too with a bow?
I did. I whitetail. I got a deer actually 2 winters ago. I didn't really hunt much this year just with time and 2 kids and all that. Maybe it was 3 winters ago. But yeah, I got a bow 3 winters ago, and I took down a whitetail. It was nice. It was a little 6 pointer, so it was fun.
Alex, we're talking about hockey. When we spoke earlier today, I was telling you that I used to referee high school and college hockey in the USHL.
Yeah, I didn't have too many of my games.
Well, I must have. And my first actually part-time job when I was about 19 years old was at Aldrich Arena, and I did all the hockey games there on the PA. And so I've seen everybody come through, you know, for a long, long time. But USHL was I didn't do it that long. It was just scary.
Before I was there, it, I know I've heard stories of like the old Omaha rink and how small it was, Sioux City, and you hear just horror stories about the fighting and all that. And I thank God I played in the league when it was, you know, I guess I could say cleaned up, but it was a fun league. It was a ton of fun for a, you know, 17-year-old kid to go down and live with the Billet family and meet a whole new group of people and go to a different high school. Boy, it was quite the experience, I'll tell you that.
I will share some of the stories I did had down in Sioux City, Iowa, because I'm telling you, it was a great experience. We'll play a round of golf at Cumberland someday and have a couple of beers and we'll BS, but there's a lot of stories there. You got a question, Mark? All right, I'll tell you what. One more question, we'll let you go, but I'll tell you what. Thanks, Alex Stalock from the Minnesota Wild. What is your bucket fishing trip? If you had to take one trip, what would it be?
Well, I just started fishing muskie, actually, on Lake Elmo last summer.
Lake Elmo,
fall.
Right by us, Lake Elmo?
I started fishing. They got tiger muskies in Lake Elmo.
I didn't know that. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, so I went out there, and I didn't have any luck, but I really do want to get on some muskie. I know my grandfather, for years, used to take trips up into northern Saskatchewan and go, you know, for, like, Trophy Northern, and I think a trip like that would be so fun someday when I'm done playing to go with a group of friends up to a fly-in trip and, you know, go after trophy fish. And,
yeah.
I know he enjoyed it. He always talked about it and told stories and had amazing pictures. And, you know, it'd be something that someday I'd like to do.
Hey, make sure you take your kids up either to Quetico National Park or the Bounty Waters, because you can't put a dollar value on those memories. And whether you catch fish or not, it's an unbelievable experience. A lot of work, but it's an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, that's something we got to do. We got to get that on the bucket list, too. I've heard from people it's just amazing to do it. So,
Alex, hey, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. You take care of yourself. Be safe. You know, stay inside, take care of the kids, do the social distancing, and keep working out, because I'm hoping you guys get back on the ice, because I've got some money on you boys.
I wore my jersey today.
I like that. Anytime, you guys.
All right,
if you got any fishing tips for me, feel free to fill me in.
All right, take care, buddy. Take care of yourself.
All right,
and
guys,
thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Good luck getting a turkey.
All right, thank you. See you guys.
See
fun.
Ya.
Fun guy. Fun guy.
Great guy. Wow,
you know,
cool.
I watched a couple of his interviews. He's just like a boy that grew up next to you, just a cool dude, like, talk to anybody, down to earth. That's
I didn't know
like
they had tiger muskies in Lake Elmo.
You know, they do now.
Yeah, that's the first place everyone fishing with my old man.
Everyone's going to be there tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, we had a great show. We had Shelley Holland, Aaron
Katzmarek,
and the muskie hunter, and Alex Stalock, who's going to be a muskie hunter, whether he likes to believe it or not. But it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for listening to the 4 Outdoorsmen. Tune in next week, if you will, please. And Sam's going to say goodbye. I'll say goodbye. And Mr. Lukey's got something to say.
Get outside.
You got it.